grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How much is it? Well, was the question at the restaurant. It was asked when the waiter came out and started talking of the special of the day, which was broiled lobster tail. And the special of the day was, of course, at market price. Now, even though it was a special vacation, the family still had a budget and wanted to know exactly what that market price was. How much does that cost? How much are you looking to get on that? What's the guys at American Pickers ask as they look for the best deal on some treasure that they found in someone's garage that hasn't seen the light of day in eons? They want the treasure, but they want to know how much is going to hit the pocketbook. How low is the seller willing to go? How much are you going to get on that? It's common to ask what a thing costs, to figure out the price, to determine if there's enough in the piggy bank to make the purchase, whatever that purchase may be, before pulling a trigger. Now, if the cost is too high, if you don't have the funds, then you have to pass. Jesus gives a few examples of counting the cost as well in our text for today. He says if you're going to start a building project like a tower, you need to figure out what the project will cost you. Or if your king wants to go to war, don't you think that he's going to consider very carefully just how many men, spears, swords, chariots, and horses it will take to win the victory? Consider the cost. Know the price. Only in Jesus' examples, he adds these words. So if you start a building project like that tower and you lay the foundation but you don't see it to completion, well, you understand that you're going to be mocked, right? You'd lose face. You'd look like a fool. And your king, if he didn't have the men, the spears, the swords, the chariots, and horses to win the victory, well, he had better go and sue for peace, right? If he didn't, then he'd not only be foolish, but he'd be reckless with the lives of others under his rule and his reign. Consider the cost. Now, Jesus uses these examples not because he is some first century Dave Ramsey who wants those whom he's addressing to be better with their finances, but to highlight the cost of what they and others will need to consider as they follow him as a disciple. And make no mistake about it, there will be a cost. What cost needs to be considered by the crowds as they follow Jesus as a disciple? What cost needs to be considered by you as you follow Jesus as his disciple? Well, before we can rightly answer that question, which we will, you and I need to be reminded of something of great importance. See, before you and I can follow Jesus as a disciple, you need to know where Jesus himself is heading. And you need to know why he is heading there. Earlier in chapter 13 of Luke's gospel, we hear these words. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. Where is Jesus going? He's going to Jerusalem. And why is he going there? Well, he's going to die. But why? I mean, why would anyone knowingly and willingly walk into a place of their death? Why would Jesus go to Jerusalem knowing that his life would be forfeit outside the same walls as the prophets before him? What did Jesus hope to gain by this? It's a good question. Many of you sitting here this morning remember the events of September 11, 2001. And on that day, two airliners were hijacked and flown as weapons of mass destruction into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York. When the first plane struck, those who were able started evacuating the building. As thousands of people were flooding the streets, running away from the destruction, there were men and women who were running in. The jobs of the firefighters and emergency responders brought them to a place of death and destruction. And not just in one tower, but the second as well. These men and these women, they were on a rescue mission, and they knew the cost. Out of the approximately 17,400 souls in the World Trade Center, 2,977 were killed that day, and 412 of them were emergency workers. These men and the women willingly and knowingly walked into a place of death so that they could rescue as many people as they possibly could. 412 paid with their lives. And in their sacrifice, they point us to Jesus. What did Jesus hope to accomplish by going to Jerusalem? Well, Jesus was going because he was on a rescue mission. Not for the 17,000, but for all of humanity. He wasn't going to ascend a tower of glass, concrete, and steel, but he would ascend a cruel wooden cross. Jesus wouldn't carry the heavy load of an air tank, hoses, and rescue equipment on his back. Instead, he would carry the burden of your sin and mine. He wouldn't suffer the flames of burning airline fuel, but he would suffer the fire of God's wrath against our sin, which Jesus bore in his flesh. He wouldn't be buried under the wreckage of a building, but he would be buried after suffering the wreckage of our sin. See, Jesus knew the cost, and he counted it well. He walked the way, finishing the mission that he started. This king who wore a crown of thorns went to war, fighting valiantly for us to bring us victory and peace. He paid with his life because he saw you as priceless treasure. And he shed his blood. And he still gives it freely in the costly meal at this altar. So what's it going to cost you to be his disciple? Well, on the one hand, nothing. And that's because you have nothing to give. Christ has already graciously given everything for your rescue and your salvation. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, "Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it's grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It's costly because it costs a man his life, and it's grace because it gives a man the only true life. It's costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. You were bought at a price. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God." But on the other hand, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, being a disciple of Jesus is going to cost you everything. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Again, Bonhoeffer. When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work and follow him, or it may be a death like Luther's, who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it's the same death every time. death in Jesus Christ, the death of the old man at his call. Jesus' summons to the rich young man was a calling to him to die, because only the man who is dead to his own will can follow Christ. In fact, every command of Jesus is a call to die, with all of our affections and lusts. But see, we do not want to die, and therefore Jesus Christ and his call are necessarily our death as well as our life. The call to discipleship, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, means both death and life. The call of Christ, his baptism, sets the Christian in the middle of the daily arena against sin and the devil. For every day he encounters new temptations, and every day he must suffer anew for Jesus Christ's sake. The wounds and the scars that he receives in the fray are living tokens of this participation in the cross of his Lord. But there's another kind of suffering and shame which the Christian is not spared. While it is true that only the sufferings of Christ are the means of atonement, yet since he has suffered for and borne the sins of the world and shares with his disciples the fruits of his passion, the Christian also has to undergo temptation. He too has to bear the sins of others. He too must bear their shame and be driven like a scapegoat from the gate of the city. But he would certainly break down under this burden, but if for the support of him who bore the sins of all. The passion of Christ strengthens him to overcome the sins of others by forgiving them. He becomes the bearer of another man's burdens. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. For as Christ bears our burdens, so we ought to bear the burdens of our fellow men. The law of Christ, which is our duty to fulfill, is the bearing of the cross. My brother's burden, which I must bear, is not only his outward lot, his natural characteristics and gifts, but quite literally his sin. And the only way to bear that sin is by forgiving it in the power of the cross of Christ, in which I now share. Thus, the call to follow Christ always means a call to share the work of forgiving men their sins. Forgiveness is the Christ-like suffering which is the Christian's duty to bear. That, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the cost of following after Jesus, dying to yourself and forgiving others their sin. But how are you able to follow Jesus and pay such a high price? Well, you must hear and believe that Jesus has paid the ultimate price for you by shedding his blood. He purchased your life from sin and death and the eternal torment of the devil. He suffered the cross for you, and now he bids you follow him. In the power of the Holy Spirit, pick up your cross daily. Die to yourself and find your life in Christ. You are baptized. You have been rescued. You are being fed at his table. You have been given ears to hear his word. And so count the cost. His death brings you life, and in your death to sin, you find life in Christ. For Christ counted you worth the cost. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our King. Amen.